Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and I've got a real treat for y'all today. The title of my message today, and it's not actually my message, but the title of the message today is Weird Warfare, When a Wolf is Among You. And I have with me my friend Nicole, whom y'all have heard before, and her friend Colin, who is the kids' church leader at her church and is also on the worship team. So Nicole is a warrior extraordinaire, as y'all know. And I would like to ask Nicole if you would pray over the podcast now.
Okay. Heavenly Father, right now, we thank you for giving us this opportunity. We thank you for the lessons you have just taught us and helped us walk through. And we thank you for the opportunity to teach and help other people be able to survive and walk through what's coming. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you would put a special protection around Glenda and myself and Colin. And we declare and demand and forbid in the name of Jesus any demonic or satanic or human interference with this podcast and the teaching and the information that you want sent forth to your people in the name of Jesus.
Yes, amen. Amen. Okay, so Nicole, when did you first realize a wolf was among you at your church?
Well, first of all, when we discuss this, we will not be using people's names. Yeah. Because even though these people are agents of Satan, they're still souls and God still loves them. And we don't want to behave the way they behave.
Amen.
So we're sharing information totally as a teaching moment. But I won't expose the people's names or, as much as possible, disclose any of that because I want to act Christian because we are Christian. So yeah. Just wanted to put that out there. The battle that we went through recently was about 8 months long. From the time that we knew what we were dealing with till the conclusion or almost conclusion of it. Because we're still dealing with things that are odd. But this person had been in the church for maybe about 3 years. And from the get-go, a few of us would get these weird checks or discernment checks, but we were dismissing them because the devil uses the Christian in us to his advantage because we want to love everybody because we're told to. Mm-hmm. We want to respect everybody because we're told to. We want to give people the benefit of a doubt. So that is a weakness he can exploit, even though, yes, we are supposed to do these things. He can use that to his advantage. So we would get these little tiny checks, but then we would think, well, no, that's just the person. That's person's personality. That's not intentional. And so then we were dismissing what God was trying to warn us about ahead of time. But as we were going through this battle, we realized that it was ordained by God. This person was allowed to come so we could learn this and learn how to defeat it and help other people. So whether he would have given us the discernment and as throw it out immediately, this person, probably not, just because he wanted us to learn it.
Yeah.
So, but the whole battle took roughly 8 months from the time we realized what we were dealing with. But we had a few years not really understanding. While damage was being done, we weren't understanding what was happening. We were just going through life.
And I have found that whatever you're fighting, God will let the battle be extended until you learn what he wants you to learn. Because that's how he teaches us faith in different areas. Like in the wilderness, that sort of thing. That's how he teaches you faith. If the minute you got into financial lack, he threw some money down, when would you learn faith to believe him for, you know, how he's going to pay the light bill, how he's going to pay your rent next month, if, you know, if he's got you on sabbatical or he has you on his assignment and you're not in the paycheck system anymore, for instance?
Amen.
Okay, so you discerned, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. You were going to write a segue into what I was going to say. One thing I wanted to say about discernment is that God tells us to test every spirit. Yeah. Which means he expects us to use discernment. So if you think you don't have a lot, ask him for it. He's going to give you, equip you with what he wants you to do.
Yes, he is.
We just assume, we easily assume, well, that's for the next person. No. Yeah. If you're a soldier of God, you're supposed to be fighting. We don't walk around without a gun in a battlefield. You're going to die. Yes. And recently God told me, if you don't fight, you become a casualty. Period. There's no option here. We all have to fight. You can't just say, well, I'm not called to spiritual warfare. That's not true. Not at all. It says these signs shall follow them that believe. So if you're a believer, you should be doing spiritual warfare, period.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. We're all in a battle no matter what.
Yes, you may not be calling spirits out of other people, but you will have some sort of spiritual battle that you need to fight, whether it's in your own flesh, your own life or your family or in your church, there's still something that you have to fight.
Amen.
So first of all, you realize that something was wrong and you began seeking God when your discernment was saying, hey, something's off here.
Yeah. We started getting attacked through our worship, which of course is the first thing Satan wants to attack, because worship ushers in the presence of God in the church. And if the presence of God is in the church, then the enemy will be exposed because they manifest with the anointing. They can't hide at that point.
Wow.
So we started experiencing extreme fatigue, extreme mental clarity. We couldn't focus, especially during worship. There were times where things would grab my throat and close it while I was trying to sing. It was so bizarre. No. And so we were fighting. It became where we were fighting more than worshiping because it was such a struggle for worship.
Wow.
So I think that was the first clue that something was wrong. Do you remember anything else, Colin?
The screens randomly changing and things like that. We just felt a presence block that we weren't able just to feel God clearly like we were supposed to be able to.
So the demons were blocking the worship.
Yes.
In fact, there was a spirit that was in the church that God told us was an anti-praise spirit that was blocking.
Oh, wow.
And especially like the front of the church, you could feel the movement of God, but the back where it was, you couldn't.
You could not.
Wow. Were you getting any feedback from the other people in the congregation when this started happening? About the,
when we that they when could, we realized... Mm-hmm.
I was just
yeah,
say
some people
thinking.
Were saying, yeah, that they were having trouble worshiping. Now, okay. We started having some people actually complaining about worship, how terrible it was, how, how it was like a funeral service. So when we realized that was happening and when we realized that anti-praise spirit was there, we collectively talked, you know, together and said, we need to start attacking the demons, because in our mind, we were just fighting a demonic presence. We weren't aware what was there and who it was coming from. We just knew it was a demon. Mm-hmm. And so our thought process was, a demon has no business being in the church, so we're going to torture it. So we started commanding all of the demons inside, people that were causing issues, to be utterly tortured during worship.
Yeah.
And then they started manifesting in front of us. So
yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, you want to tell that? Do you want to tell that story, Colin?
About which one, Cloud?
The person, what they were doing in the back of the church during worship once we had commanded that.
I don't remember.
I don't remember. Okay, well, the person that we ended up realizing was the wolf. Okay, that we did know this at the point, was in the very back of the church. Hitting the wall, doing push-ups against the wall,
really
walking around saying, I hate worship. I hate worship. It makes me want to kill myself. And so the people in the back were like, that's not okay.
Yeah, that's
maybe
not
you
okay.
need to go to the altar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to get some help.
Yes. Yeah. And they said, maybe you need to go to the altar. Yeah. And they said, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. And they would walk out of the service. They wouldn't stay in very long. They couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Did they come back after worship?
We had people that wouldn't come to church until after they knew praise and worship was finished. They wouldn't come to church till about an hour after it started.
Really?
Because of the fact.
That's usually a sign of demonization. In my experience, if someone cannot sit through worship, it's usually the demons just can't stand it. So they get them to leave.
Yeah. And then later on, I do want to talk about that God doesn't give you everything at one time. It's a one step and then an answer, and then two steps and then an answer. He leads you. He doesn't just tell you all the time. So it's a process. So you have to realize that it's not going to be easy. It makes us dependent on him so that he gets the glory, because we didn't do anything. We just worked with him.
You also get better understanding if you build that line upon line and precept upon precept, if you learn it that way.
Definitely.
Yes. At one point, we would lose the anointing in the building. Again, we were torturing them. When we started realizing it was certain specific spirits, we would torture those specific spirits. But we had noticed after looking back that there are times when the minister actually sees the anointing of God flowing over people's heads during prayer time. Mm-hmm. And any time that happened, they would walk out immediately, or they would sit down, because he would say, stand up, lift your hands up and feel the, you know, into, I can see the anointing there. Mm-hmm. Lift your hands up and God's going to touch you. Well, they would sit down.
They would sit whenever
they were trying to
stand.
Yes. They didn't want to be in the
God. Wow.
Yeah. They didn't want anything to do with God. No. Yet they claimed to be a minister, which is very interesting. So this person infiltrated the church as a minister, which as far as I know, they are licensed as far as I know. And became very close in leadership so that they could implement what they wanted, do what they wanted. And once they had control, the demonic spirits had permission.
Yeah.
So it's important to know that we need to ask God who should do this in ministry, not just assign it because there's a need.
Amen.
Because sometimes Satan will feel the need if we don't ask God who we should put in there. And this is what ended up happening.
Satan sent a decoy.
Yes.
Wow. So what happened after that?
Well, okay, so once we realized something was wrong, something was really wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I had learned not that long ago about removing the veil. And so I told Colin about it. I said, we need to pray that God just rips off the veil and reveals what's going on. So that's how we were praying. And then all of a sudden, it started manifesting. We started realizing who it was. And that... not only did it help us, we started ripping the veil off of every single person in the church so that they could see something was wrong too.
Yeah.
Which was very helpful, because as we started this battle, we kept questioning our sanity.
Definitely.
Because it would send us thoughts, such witchcraft thoughts that, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy. It was just really, really bad. So as it started as we started realizing we were dealing with something really bad, God gave Colin a dream. And that's basically what started it. So I'm going to let him talk about the dream, since he's the one that had the dream.
Okay,
well, I'll go ahead and I'll give you the dream. I have it wrote down. I was sitting down at a table, and there was this person there with me. I won't say his name, but yeah, he told me that he got a new dog and wanted to go see his dog. So I followed him into the backyard, and the person asked me, and do you like my dog? And I said, I was looking at this thing, but it wasn't what it was. It was a cow. The cow was made out of sticks and logs and just trees and like rocks and many, many natural materials, basically what you would build an altar out of. And this person kept telling me, look at my dog. And I'm like, that is not a dog, it's a cow. And as I progressively argued with them, and then I completely insisted without any doubt, hesitation, that it was a cow, and it exploded into a million little pieces. And then behind it, a gigantic snake appeared, which was hiding behind this cow. And the snake was wrapped around a building that was had just finished burning down. It still had the rubble, was all still glowing, and everything was still a little lightly on fire. And the snake was wrapped around it, and its tail was wrapped around the trees on the side of the property. And it was just massive. I couldn't get over how big it was. And then when I turned and looked in front of me, I noticed the snake was striking at me. And it had many, many rows of really sharp teeth. And the snake was coming at me. It had many colors. I didn't notice the colors until the lights of the embers hit it when it was coming at me. It had a purple, gold, and green. And I felt God tell me it's just to bind up the snake. And when I extended my hand, I had just started learning about spiritual warfare at all at this time. So I extended my hand and I commanded that the snake be bound up in the name of Jesus, and its mouth shut. And the snake began pushing on my hand and kept pushing me back a little bit. And then when I looked in my right hand, all of a sudden I had a sword appear in my hand, and I knew I was supposed to slice a snake, and it took three slices and its head fell off and I woke up.
Wow.
And good. And called Nicole.
It was the right thing to do.
So I'm listening to this dream. I'm like, okay, this. I felt in my spirit this wasn't just a dream, and so I waited a little bit and was like, okay, we need to ask God what this means. Immediately, I got that the cow was the Jezebel spirit. Immediately. With because they worshiped the bull. So I knew that I was dealing, we were getting ready to deal with the Jezebel, which I'm not fond of
nobody.
At all. And that spirit seems to like really want to attack me. yeah. So I was like, oh dear Lord, not again. But the good news was that this time I actually knew spiritual warfare. Well, the first time I dealt with it, I had no clue what I was doing or what I was dealing with until after the fact. What I do want to tell the audience tonight is that not all dreams are from God.
Yes.
Not all dreams are from the devil, or they could be from God, from you, or from the devil. Okay. So not all dreams are from God. So the best way to protect yourself is when you have a dream that you feel slightly disturbed, or even if it's like a dream that you think God's revealing something to you. If he says to test the spirits, he will not be mad at you if you take authority over the dream. So your best bet is to, you wake up from a dream and you say, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this dream. If this dream is not from God, I forbid it to manifest. And if it's from Satan, you know, I command it to go. If the dream goes, it wasn't from God. But a dream that is from God will stay with you, and you will remember all of the details in complete clarity, even weeks or months later, which is like, yes, like the dream that Colin described, that was months ago, 8 months or more that we had this dream. So that's something to keep in mind. Not everything is from God. Take authority over it and find out. That's how you protect yourself.
Yes.
How you discern it. And remember, when we first started to get discernments about what was, it was like God usually speaks first, and he'll get the check, and then the argument comes. And there is no reason for you to argue with yourself. That is the definition of insanity. So stop the argument. You know, commit. If you're arguing with yourself, say no, and then just, I'm not going there. And then wait for God to clarify what it was he said at first. And then start to realize, oh, okay, well, they're not going to argue if it's you, but they're going to argue if God's telling you. Amen. So pay attention to that. The argument is important.
Yes.
I agree with that.
So going back to the veil thing, when we noticed that the worship was being blocked by something, mm-hmm. God told Colin, actually he told us the same day. We were on our way to church, and I was praying to rip the veils down from the altar area. Do you remember that
part, yes, Colin? Yes, I do. I remember, I want to talk about that.
Yeah, go ahead, and why don't you talk about that right now?
I was driving to church, like she was saying, and then all of a sudden, I just had this feeling, and I could see it. God will show me a lot of times something inside my spirit, and it manifests in my mind, and I get a picture of it, and I can see it. And it was just gigantic veil. And the best way I described it, he reminded to me, it was like basically the same kind of veil that Jesus ripped when he died on the cross. He ripped the veil. And that was basically the same veil that was there. What it was doing, it was blocking the presence of God flowing from the altar into the congregation, and was creating a separation between there, so the people weren't receiving, even from the pastor speaking from the pulpit, he wasn't having, the anointing wasn't flowing, the anointing was stopping. That if you were behind the veil, it was fine, and you could feel the presence of God, but it wasn't passing through.
It was something that the demons had put up.
Yes.
Like he had reformed the veil in the temple again to where they weren't feeling it, because we noticed we would feel the presence strong and you could tell that they weren't, and we couldn't know why.
For new Christians, that veil is the veil that goes into the Holy of Holies.
Yes.
Before, in biblical times, only the high priest could enter there. And even he only went in there once a year, because that's where God's presence was. He lived in, his presence dwelt in the ark, in the Holy of Holies. And now, because of what Jesus did, we are able to enter God's presence anytime. So what the demons did was they just reconstructed that veil in that church to keep people from entering into the presence of God, because that's where true change and true intimacy can take place.
Definitely.
So if, another point, if you're in a, for the audience, if you're in a church where you're not necessarily feeling God's presence, it's not always the church's fault. Your first thing is you need to look at you yourself. Are you okay with God? Is that why you're not feeling God's presence? Mm-hmm. And if you know you're okay with God, number two, okay, is there something in the church that's blocking it? So ripping a veil down, whether you know it's there or not, will not hurt. It will definitely help if it's there. So this is something Christians can do in their own churches to help God's presence manifest. Because if the people in the church have never gone through their own deliverance, or there's infiltrators in there, they're going to be doing something. So this is a very good first step that we took to start fighting this thing.
Definitely.
It's a good step. Okay.
Also, once we realized what we were dealing with, we also understood immediately that unless God helped us, we were in a lot of trouble.
Amen. Yes. That.
Because we had never encountered anything like that before.
So talk about the progression. Okay, so you've prayed about the veil, and what happened after that?
Well, we started seeking God's direction because we didn't know what to do next. Fleshly, we wanted the person out immediately. Mm-hmm. And I would talk to you, Glenda, a lot because I was frustrated and not understanding how to deal with this. And you would tell me, you have to learn something. They're not going to go until you learn what you need to learn.
He was showing me that whenever Nicole and I talk on the phone, God will show her stuff, or he'll show me stuff. And we always share whatever we're being shown. And that's how he helps us to help each other.
So the next step, if you're discovering something's wrong in your church and you may have an infiltrator or a wolf, you need to know that we have to work with God and not for him. Yes. Meaning if we just say, okay, God doesn't want this in the church and we're going to go on our own, he's not necessarily going to help us. We need to walk with him or behind him through each step. Because it didn't go as fast as what we wanted it to. I mean, we were getting...
battle. It was an intense, long battle. This was every day, all day long. This was not a hit and miss. You get hit once in a while with an attack. This was intense.
And so Colin and I would discuss what was going on, trying to figure it out. and as we would pray. So yeah. The first step that we did was formulate a prayer against certain Jezebel, against, at this point, I think the main manifestation started coming in the person that we were dealing with when we noticed they were pathologically lying.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And so ripping the veil down started exposing that in the person, because they were being very manipulative, and they would pull people aside. They would talk about people in the church, and then they would go to the person they were talking about. And then, so for example, they would come to me and they would tell me this thing. I was thinking, why are you telling me this? Then they would go to the person they were talking about, tell them everything that was said, and said, I was doing it.
Yeah, so that's sowing strife among the brethren. That's one of the seven things God hates.
Yes.
Yes. Definitely.
That's exactly what
And that, after dealing with fights. This, we went through that list, and they had every single one of them.
Yep.
Wow.
And so causing strife and lying. Well, when I caught wind of some of the law, I knew right off that wasn't true. So then, you know, it was like, okay, wait. So we still gave them the benefit of the doubt. We still were allowing God to work on the person. We were praying for their soul. We were praying, you know. And so then from the pulpit, the pastor would correct and try to teach, but it would go over their head, and they just kept getting worse and worse. And even when they'd find out we knew they were lying, they would go back again and try to keep the lie going.
Wow.
It was wow. Crazy.
So frustrating.
One thing I'd like to talk about too right here was that inside of worship and stuff, and if you want to test the spirit too, if you believe a spirit's inside of somebody, I personally did this to specific people that we had clues that God would give us and show us where it was coming from, and we'd watch their lifestyle, and you'd judge their fruit. You have the right to look at their fruit and see what they're producing.
Yes.
So one weird thing that I learned that God had showed me was you can command a spirit to look at you, and which it's really, really weird. And you're gonna notice it. I remember, so the Jezebel is the main one we were fighting at the time, because that's what God was showing us then. And I'd look, watch these people, and I was standing, make sure I wasn't staring at them, so I didn't feel no one staring at them. But I command in the name of Jesus, I'd say, "Because you spirit of Jezebel, I command you to turn around and look at me." And you would watch their head turn, and they just look at you for a brief moment, and then they catch what they were doing, and they turn around and look back to the front.
I love that.
But you can sit there and do it over and over, and the person would really have no recognition of it. They wouldn't remember it.
No, because it was the demons doing it.
Exactly.
That's good. I like that. That's a good way to find out what spirit you're dealing with. If you think, okay, maybe it's this one or maybe it's that one, that's a great idea for figuring out which one you're dealing with.
Yes. Definitely. There was one point where we commanded, I remember we had anointed the church, and I commanded that person to not be able to go stand in a certain, because they would come and stand and would glare at me during worship.
I remember that.
Yes.
Oh, and it's like you couldn't focus. It was so stressful. And so I commanded they couldn't go there. And the rest of the time that they were in the church, they did not go into that corner. They used to stay in the entire time.
That's good. Yeah, you're anointed for worship. You're a worship leader and have been for a long time. And that anointing affected them, and they wanted to shut down your anointing because it was affecting people.
Yes, definitely.
Wow.
And one thing I'd like to share too right here, we're talking about this, is like you're just starting to practice what God shows you. And at one point, I had got really frustrated, because it's just like it comes to a time, it seems like you'd wish it would be going faster than it is.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just the human part of you. So God had showed us about binding up the demons and stuff, and using the anointing oil and stuff. So I had gone in, and I made the anointing oil like glue. I had anointed all the chairs inside of the church, and then I commanded that all the demons would be stuck to it.
I like that.
Not, but thinking, didn't really know how it would manifest and how it would happen, but God allows you to make some mistakes to teach you. And it's like, I'll never forget that. But someone else in the church had a vision and talked to Miss Nicole about this and says, I had a vision several times about all the demons. There's full of demons glued to, stuck to the chairs of the church. They're chained there.
I love that.
And
be careful what you ask for in spiritual warfare.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly what I said happened, but didn't realize what it was doing to the people because they were messing with the people during services.
Oh, yeah.
So they would change the chairs. So we had to break that. But so don't be afraid to make mistakes.
No.
I mean, you're going to make mistakes. God's going to allow you to make mistakes to be able to teach you and show you how to properly do things.
That's the truth.
So then we had to be specific, you know, we would bind up the ones in the
person
and then
yes.
command them to go out. So now on a regular basis, before church starts, I bind up all the demonic things. Like we command them out of the church, that if they come in on any person, they have to stay outside during the service so the person can get relief and hear God during the church. And then if they have permission to be in them, they can go back in after, but not on the property.
That's really good.
So, because we're not just dealing with the demonic forces, we want people to be able to hear God
yes.
and to get touched in a place where when they come to church, they can feel like, oh, I feel peace for the first time in my life and want to come back. You know, we don't want them being tortured by.
No, people are not going to be too tempted to go back to a church where they're being tormented by demons during service, for sure.
Definitely.
Okay, well, that's all we have for y'all on this first podcast, but there's going to be a sequel podcast to this one, and we're going to talk about even more weirdness, and let me tell you, it's going to get weird, so don't miss that podcast, and check out Nicole's blog. It's the Wings of Warfare blog. I think there's a link to it on my blog, I'm not sure, but it's http://wingsofwarfare.blogspot.com. She posts stuff that she learns in spiritual warfare on there, and she has got some really good stuff. You don't want to miss that. I want to thank Nicole and Colin for being on this podcast, and we'll see y'all next week on the next one. Okay, now we can start the next one. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write the Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax. If you ask anyone you know what the most difficult experience of their life has been, many will answer about a time of betrayal. All those called to walk the narrow path will at some point encounter Judas. How will you respond? Do you know how to recognize Judas when he shows up in your life? Can you keep Judas from bringing destruction to your life and ministry? How can you minimize what Judas cost you? Can you pass the test of absolute betrayal? Get your copy of The Judas Test, available in print, and new audiobook, The Judas Test by Glenda Lomax, available now on Amazon.com.
sold out for 30 pieces of silver? In Exodus 21:32, it is the price of a dead slave. In Leviticus 27:2-7, it is the price of a live one. Jesus was sold for the price of a bondservant. Precious Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, why did Judas sell his friend out so cheap?
Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 is a collection of 58 short inspirational readings that will uplift, comfort, and encourage readers from every walk of life. Sidewalk Flowers includes inspirational tales and topics taken from the lives of everyday people who exhibited extraordinary wisdom, kindness, and courage while traveling the sidewalks of life. Get your copy of Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 today, available in print and new audiobook. Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print or new audiobook.
There is no one on earth who has not been wronged at some time in their life. Everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has been hurt by someone. The pain you have suffered does not make you special. It is what you do with that pain that sets you apart. Life can make you bitter or it can make you better. You choose. The only difference between the two is the I.